Welcome to Hot Weekly.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast for the haunted attraction haunted entertainment community. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. Once again, happy Monday, or whenever you choose to listen to this. I guess you kind of decide what days. So happy day that ends in a Y.
Yes.
That for you. I hope it has been a good one. And we are coming at you today. It's the festive season. Meaning it's October!
No.
Oh, wait, that's our festive season.
That's our happiest season.
Oh, wait, it's the other season.
Or our busy season. It's a lot of seasons for us.
It's the chaos season. It's the season for arguing. It's the season for fun. It's the season for laughter. It's the season for scare. The season for abject terror.
Yes, exactly.
The season for existential crises about why the hell are you doing this to yourself?
Yeah.
It's the season for a lot of things.
It is. But that's not what we're talking
about. No, we're not. We're talking about the other holiday season.
Yes.
That's right. It is Christmas time here in these United States, and I suppose the most of the rest of the world, too. But yes. And one of the things, and we're finally getting around, after a couple of years, to really talking about Christmas haunted attractions and honing in on that. And the reason we're doing that is because we finally got to go to one.
Yeah.
We're gonna have all that and much more. But first thing first, gotta remind you guys, in case you didn't know, this is Haunt Weekly. You can find us at hauntweekly.com, Haunt Weekly on Twitter and Facebook. tinyurl.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel. You can also catch us at iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, anywhere else that finer podcasts are sold. All right. Well, before we get down to the winter fun that is about to kick off,
yeah. We
have to do our conference reminders, and we kick off with a new conference.
Oh.
IRMAGERD.
Yeah.
IRMAGERD. This has never happened in the history of Haunt Weekly, the illustrious, lengthy history of this podcast. This has never happened where we introduce a new conference, and it's automatically the most current.
Yeah.
The closest upcoming. That's never happened. We introduce new conferences all the time. All the ones happen, other ones get put on. It's the ebb and flow of the universe.
Right.
But we've never had one do this. Coming up, December 22nd, that's just a couple of weeks, guys. It's the Lost Souls Xmas Bus Tour in Berwyn, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Berwyn.
Yes.
We're not going to get through this one without a couple of Svengoolie references, are we?
No.
Any Svengoolie fans, just insert all the Berwyn jokes here. Save us the time.
Yeah.
Much appreciated. But yes, Lost Souls is doing a special Christmas tour. Very appropriate for this episode, I might add. They will be touring Massacre Haunted House's Christmas Nightmare and Basement of the Dead's A Very Scary Christmas. There will also be an after party provided by Haunted House Chicago. There will be a free picture with Santa raffles. BYOB is back. I mean, you can bring your own beer. The only thing they ask is that you make sure your cooler or what's it or who's it fits in your seat, because basically your ticket pays for your seat. It's airplane rules, basically. Don't be an idiot. And also, of course, Brewster Bonesaw providing entertainment the whole way, and having done the Lost Souls tour earlier this season, the regular one.
Right.
It's a very good part of the show, and here's the thing, tickets are just $75. VIP access to these two haunts alone would cost you more than that, and this is better than VIP. Learn more at LostSoulsChicago.com.
Okay. Then, January 25th through the 27th, it's HauntCon Halloween and Party Expo in New Orleans, Louisiana. It is at the Ernest Memorial Convention Center. Jonathan will be speaking.
Yay!
And
boo! I'm not sure which.
Well, you know, considering the time frame, it's probably more boo.
Yeah, 9:30 a.m. on the first day of the fucking conference.
Yeah. But you can find out, you know, more about what's going on after his talk, because nobody's getting up, I'm sorry, dear, at hauntcon.com.
Hey, I'm going to say this. While we're on this topic here, the smallest crowd I have ever spoken to was three people.
I know.
I had a conference once in North Carolina. The conference got like, it was supposed to be a 2-day event.
Yeah.
It got shortened to 1 day. And basically what ended up happening was this really super hot keynote, because this is back when, before, you know, Robert Scoble was hated by everyone.
Yeah.
It was back when he was actually popular. He was given a keynote at this conference. I was up against his keynote and three other speakers.
Yeah, you never put people up against a keynote.
Breakout sessions against a keynote. They did. Three times over. And it's funny because I actually grabbed all the other presenters. How many people were in yours? And they're like, no one. I had three. I won among the other presenters, okay?
Yeah.
So eat on that. But yeah, I had one friend, one drunk guy who showed up too late to get the and one person actually really interested in the talk. And I gave the same goddamn presentation, so I don't care.
Yeah.
Okay, after that, February 23rd and 24th, it's HauntX, the Haunters DIY Expo in Pomona, California, at the Fairplex. They'll be touring Coffin Creek, both lights on and lights off. It'll feature a costume ball. HauntX.com for more details.
Okay, February 27th through March 2nd, it is the Maze Corn Party in Dallas, Texas and Oklahoma City. They will be touring mazes around Dallas and Oklahoma, including Yesterland Farm, Mainstay Farm, and more. The Maze, MAIZE.com for more info.
All right, then March 21st through the 24th in St. Louis, Missouri, it's Trans World Halloween, an attraction show at the America Center. Now co-located with Transworld's Christmas show. Once again, strangely appropriate for this podcast.
Yeah. Did they have a Christmas show before?
No, this is a brand new thing they're doing this year. Yeah, so I don't really know why it's now co-located. What they're adding the Christmas show.
Exactly. But that's what I'm like.
They phrase it as co-located because I think HauntCon started that crap. Because remember, it's HauntCon co-located with the Halloween and Party Expo. But that actually made sense because those two things existed separately and then got mashed together.
Right.
So that made sense.
One bought the other.
Yes, one bought the other. You can say co-located with it. That features a party at the City Museum on Thursday, a performance by Vampire Circus on Friday, and a Vampire Ball on Saturday. Learn more details at the Haas Show, HaasHow.com.
Okay.
Now we've wasted 10 perfectly good minutes. We can get to the meat of this week's episode, and that is Christmas haunts.
Mm-hmm.
This is something I've noticed this year. I don't know if you agree with this or not. There seems to have been an explosion in the number of haunts that are doing Christmas attractions this year.
Yeah, because there were a few last year, but not nearly as many as there are this year.
Yeah, we saw
at least it seems that way.
Yeah, we saw a fair amount, and I'm going to link to a list. Excuse me. On Coaster Nation, where they have gone there, and it's actually a list that's been updating. They've been working on it behind the scenes. It's actually changed from when I first found it earlier in the week. But they are currently listing 24 out of the 50 states are having one such event.
Mm-hmm.
And I know what you're thinking. It's like, whoa, that doesn't really sound like it's everywhere yet.
Right.
Well, you know, previously it was barely any states had it.
Yeah.
And a lot of states out there just ain't appropriate for this. When Alaska gets a Christmas haunt, I'll be goddamn impressed, all right?
Yeah.
You're on note, Alaskan haunts. You want to impress me, open up a Christmas event in December. Actually, they'll probably do it.
Yeah.
But also, it's worth noting that many of the states had four or more. I think Illinois had like eight. Which explains why Lost Souls had no trouble cobbling together a tour.
Mm-hmm.
And even our state, Louisiana, had two when previously it had zero.
Yeah,
we had New Orleans Nightmare House, and Dark Woods is doing one.
Oh, okay. There was one a few years ago up in Monroe, but we didn't get a chance to go to it.
Yeah. For those who don't know Louisiana geography, good life choices. well done. But Monroe is basically northeast of the state. It's functionally in the northeast corner of the state, and it's a part of the state no one ever really should go to.
Yeah.
Without some very valid reason.
Yeah, you have to have a specific reason for going there.
It'd be like 6-hour drive for us to get there. We'd better off going to many Texas haunts.
Yeah.
I think that's easier to say.
Yeah. I'd agree.
But with all these new haunts, we finally got to go to one. New Orleans Nightmare House, the old House of Shock, mm-hmm. Put on one. And we're going to talk more about our experience there a little bit later down.
Mm-hmm.
But first, we're going to look at the phenomenon more broadly. But yeah, this really got us thinking about it. It's like, you know, we went from in our little area, because Darkwoods is near Natchitoches, we went from having none in Louisiana, the nearest one we would hear about would be somewhere much further up north,
mm-hmm.
to now we had two we feasibly could have made.
Right.
So what the hell is going on?
Oh, it seems to be getting more popular.
Seems to be a trend of sorts, almost.
It does.
Yeah, it does. It does. A sneaky, growy, trendy thingy.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as reasons for the trend, it's kind of hard to nail down reasons. It's hard to nail down reasons for trends anyway.
Right.
I mean, why the hell were slap bracelets a thing?
Because they were fun.
It made no sense.
No, but...
It's a blind. It's literally a Venetian, one of the thing from a blind... You pop and it goes on your wrist, and they put like 2 cents of fabric around it so it wouldn't cut you.
Basically, yeah.
Why was this a trend? Why were pet rocks trends?
Oh, I don't know that one.
Yeah,
I had a rock collection as a kid, but they weren't pet rocks.
Why were Tamagotchis a thing?
Yeah.
So yeah, when you're dealing with trends, and especially when we don't yet know if it's a trend that will actually continue and have legs for some time, or a fad... that will just die on the vine after a few years.
Right.
It's really hard to understand why, but I do have a few theories.
Mm-hmm.
The first is the growth of Krampus.
Yes.
And now we actually
in the U.S. specifically.
In the U.S. specifically. And then that's kind of the weird thing. It's like, Krampus been around, dude. He's been around for thousands and hundreds of thousands and thousands
yeah,
of years.
Yeah, exactly. He was so popular that we didn't really cover him.
Yeah.
In our
Christmas
Demons episode.
Yeah. Back in that's episode 55. You're getting way back. They're over 100 episodes ago now.
Mm-hmm.
But we did talk about Christmas Demons, and Krampus was mentioned in it. That's the best coverage we've had of them. But yeah, there's been a trend in the United States in the past, I would say, what year are we in? 2018? Maybe 8 years?
Yeah.
Of like just like ramping up interest in Krampus.
Yeah.
And it's been kind of crazy. Here locally, okay... Krewes, K-R-E-W-E is how you spell it for those playing along at home. These are basically parade crews. These are groups that go dress in costumes, make floats, and do parades.
Right.
And you can join these and pay dues, and you get to march in the parade, and it's a big social thing here in New Orleans.
Yes. Yes, they are social clubs.
And it's one of the reasons why we don't call our, you know, the Bernie family, the Bernie Baxter family, it's the Crew of Bernie.
Yes.
It's a very New Orleans thing to do. So the Crew of Bernie is a good example of a crew name. Well, locally, the Crew of Krampus mm-hmm. was founded in 2012.
Right.
And you got to understand, most crews have history that go back many, many decades, if not centuries.
Yeah.
Over a century.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of these crews go back to the 1800s.
Yeah, they've been around for as long as Mardi Gras has been rolling in New Orleans.
And you get crews like Zulu and Rex and so forth, and the big Mardi Gras crews. They've got over a century of legacy.
Yeah. Very, very proud history.
Yeah, and they're very, very proud of their history, too, as you said.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Crew of Krampus is much more recent. They started in 2012. Mm-hmm. They do a Christmas parade every year. I think they did it last weekend?
Yes. Yeah, it was last weekend. We don't do a lot of parades. This is one that I might make an exception for because I've heard that the crowds are smaller.
More reasonable.
Yeah. Because usually, like, the Mardi Gras parades, it's just a mass of humanity and you can't see anything. But this sounds more relaxed and spread out. So.
We're old. Basically, is what it comes down to. Like, when we were younger people, like, when we first moved to the city, parades were awesome. And we went to parades. Like, remember the first year we were here, we did, like, every Mardi Gras parade.
Just about, yeah.
We just parked our little butts on St. Charles and caught near damn near every Mardi Gras parade we could. And we fucking loved it. But now it's like, when you're in the late 30s, early 40s, that doesn't sound so cool anymore.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're not parade people, but we both may have to make an exception for that later year. But also, Krampus got the Hollywood treatment in 2015.
Yes.
Now, that was nowhere near the first Krampus movie, to be clear.
No.
Especially if you look internationally.
Right.
But there have been low-budget Krampus movies and other things going around for way before that.
No.
And many, many, many more after. But yeah, Krampus got the big Hollywood treatment in 2015, and it was actually a pretty okay movie.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it.
No.
I was a little...
I like the little gingerbread men.
Yes, they were. That was one of the funniest things I've seen in a horror movie in some time.
Yeah.
Like, usually the attempt to mix horror and comedy like that falls a little flat with me.
Yeah.
That was bang on. That was pretty much perfect.
Yeah, and they were memorable.
Yes, they were. And the ending was quite memorable, too, I thought.
Yeah.
But yeah, also interesting Krampus movies from recent history. Rare Exports... It's a Finnish film. Be prepared to read some subtitles.
Yeah.
But it's well worth it. It's a beautiful movie. And also a Christmas... technically, Rare Exports is about Santa, but it's Krampus. Just fuck it. Run with
it. Yeah.
It's fucking Krampus. Deal with it.
Yeah.
And a Christmas Horror Story, which is about Krampus.
Yes. Well, at least some of it.
Yeah. Well, one of the... It's an anthology film. One of the anthologies is about Krampus.
Yeah.
And him getting into an awesome fight with Santa as part of the climax.
Yeah, that's a crossover anthology part.
Yeah, it's very
because he has his own segment too.
You do. You just got to see it. Yeah, it's true. Yeah, he's in two segments there. You're right. I forgot about that one. You just got to see it and just, you know, here's the thing: Drunk William Shatner.
Yeah.
We're going to talk more, maybe do one about Christmas horror movies later if there's interest in it. We are actually experts in this area on Christmas horror movies, unfortunate experts in some cases. But
I don't know. We tend to seek it out. And if you have a favorite Christmas horror movie that you would like us to talk about if we do this podcast,
yeah.
Or would just like us to see, let us know at all the places that you've mentioned.
Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
Leave a comment on YouTube.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, and the thing about it is this, though, horror movies like Black Christmas and so forth have long done Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
This really strengthened the bond between the two, and specifically it gave us a Christmas villain.
Yes.
Because Krampus is up there now in the lexicon with like Jason and Freddy and big horror movie villains.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's Christmas themed.
Yeah.
I mean, he's, you know, he lived in that fantasy world before he came to the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's here and he's a big deal.
Okay. Another reason it's growing right now, 13th Floor.
Yeah.
I checked, nearly every single indoor 13th Floor haunt in the country is doing a Christmas event. They have, I think... 11 indoor haunts that are permanent locations,
mm-hmm.
and 8 are doing it.
Right.
So basically, 13th Floor did a Thanos snap, and next thing you know, they've all got Christmas events.
Yeah.
And in fact, they're all the same event according to the theming. They're Krampus Haunted Christmas.
Hmm.
Which, if you go to like the site for it, there's a story, there's a poem, there's all the stuff.
Yeah.
And Crystal's looking at me very perplexed, and we'll get into why.
Yeah, because that doesn't seem to...
Translate.
Yes.
Nowhere did that trickle down to the experience.
Yeah, or even the name of the experience that we had.
Yeah, it's a little bit bizarre.
Yeah.
But yeah, they have 8 locations all over the country that greatly expanded the reach and the visibility of it. Because mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure one of the reasons Dark Woods did their Christmas event, I don't know if they did one last year.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think they did. I think we would have heard about it, but I did not hear about one last year. If they did, I apologize. But, you know, that's one of the things, is when one haunt in an area does a Christmas event and one haunt in the state does it, others are more likely to do it.
Right.
Basically, when 13th Floor said, okay, we're doing Christmas, it put it out there like a shotgun blast all over the country.
Yeah.
It may only be 8 of the states, but believe me, that's a lot of visibility.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, I just think, like most things in our industry... One or two haunts started it, it did well, and others followed it, cashing in on the novelty.
Yeah.
We are an industry of trends and fads, ultimately. We're mm-hmm. bouncing from one to the next. Escape rooms, VR. Whether those are trends or fads, we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I actually searched for evidence of any decline at escape rooms. I didn't see it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Google Trends is saying that escape room searches are pretty much the highest they've been like the past year.
Well, and that's something that's fun. It works well with our industry, and it's good for families.
I'm starting to think it may have the long-term legs.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I do worry about oversaturation.
Yeah, but I think with anything, you know, the escape rooms that are not very good are going to be weeded out and beat out by the escape rooms that are just awesome.
Like the one at New Orleans Nightmare? Sorry.
No, like like ones in office buildings versus ones in haunted houses, yeah, generally.
Okay, that's what you're... Now, the ones in office buildings can be fun in their own right, though. If they have good puzzles. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But yeah, Christmas haunts are no different. I think this is a matter of industry chasing... the industry chasing our fads and what's on the razor's edge.
Yeah, because... Well, and the trend of... holiday-themed haunted houses is becoming more and more of a thing.
Yeah, broadly.
Yeah. So, you know...
we saw a lot more Valentine's Day haunts last year. I'll be curious how February shapes up this year. Right. And we even saw a few, like, St. Paddy's Day haunts.
Yeah, and I think maybe one 4th of July. One haunt that opened 4th of July but wasn't 4th of July themed.
Yeah.
So...
I guess we're going to have to see how that one goes.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think it'd be interesting. I know it's tight, but I think here in New Orleans, we need a Mardi Gras haunt.
Yeah. Well, we did our own little version of a Mardi Gras theme one year.
Yeah.
Not during Mardi Gras time, during October,
And that actually worked really well.
It did.
Going back to that crew thing, it was called the Killer Crew.
Yeah. Yeah. Crew of Clockwork.
Yeah, the Crew of Clockwork, which is an imaginary crew. Yeah. But we actually did, once again, this goes back to making a story based upon some fact. We based our story upon why they became the Killer Crew, based upon the exact financial troubles that caused many crews to go under in the 60s.
Yeah.
When they started really clamping down.
And again, once we were here, there was increased... they had to now have permits from electricians for lights and things on the floats. That changed while we were here, and they had to pay extra.
Yeah. And previously, it was the safety harnesses that caused the big kerfuffle.
Right.
Turns out you don't like riders falling out of your floats.
You mean once they've been drinking the entire parade route? Yeah. You don't want them to do that?
Yeah. Weirdest thing, huh?
Yeah. They're only like two stories up. It'll be fine.
No, they'll land on their head. It'll be okay.
Yeah.
Anyways, so why hold such an event is the next question. Well, the obvious reason is money.
Yeah.
Whether you're charity, whether you're pro haunt, whether you're whatever, this is the big reason. This really is it.
Right.
In most cases, you're paying either a lease or rent or taxes or something on that property year-round.
Mm-hmm.
Might as well get cash for it during the off-season. And it doesn't require... it requires significantly redecoration, mm-hmm. but theoretically not remodeling.
Right.
You're not going through and knocking out tons of rooms and putting up...
No. Well, and we've talked about how just changing a light... in a room can make customers mm-hmm. think it's a whole new thing.
Yeah.
You know, you changed the entire thing because all your lights are different. And that's not, you know, true, but it's easy for us to do and easy to play with.
Yeah, after working in and building haunts, I think lighting is perhaps the most important art form in haunt design.
Yeah.
I think that is unilaterally just across the board the most important thing because... You can use it to hide scares. You can use it to change a room. You can use it to color your fog. You can use it to...
Yeah.
And it's so versatile.
Mm-hmm.
And when a haunt does a questionable job of lighting, especially when they do so good in everything else...
Yeah.
It's murder to me.
Yeah, me too. And, I mean, we've been saying this for years, that, you know, bad lighting, using dark scenes is a cop-out. Because, you know...
Well, one of my favorite things working front of house is people will say to me, is it really dark in there as they're getting ready to go in?
Yeah.
And they'll look in the first room, and it's, I mean, it's not like bright, bright light.
No.
But it's not super dark.
No. You can see.
You can see perfectly fine.
Yeah.
And so they go in, and I'm like, oh, it's not that bad. Boom, first scare hits, and then it's off to the race. And it's because, you know, it's lit where they can see what we want them to see.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's neither, once again, that's a whole other podcast.
Yes. Yes, it is. We'll have to do the lighting one that we've been threatening to do since we started.
Yeah, it's such a hard one to do in a podcast, though.
I know.
But anyways, neither here nor there. But yeah, it doesn't require a remodeling. It does require significant redecoration.
Yeah.
Many haunts just simply add Christmas decorations and costumes to an existing haunt. It's basically like the opposite of a lights out night.
Right.
Instead of having a lights out night, you have a themed lights up.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
It does, because you're adding light to it, and they're interesting Christmas lights.
Yeah, and you're adding other decorations, too, and so forth.
Yeah.
The second reason is that it's a novel experience right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much everywhere. Every major haunt area has at least one.
Right.
But I suspect most of your customers have not been to one yet.
Right.
I mean, we just did our first one this year, and we basically are in therapy for our haunt addiction. and then we couldn't afford the therapy, so we launched a podcast.
Yeah.
In hopes that we could talk to you like a therapist. It isn't working.
Obviously, we've got so many.
It just added a bill for podcast hosting.
Yeah. Pretty much.
What are we doing? But it's a novel experience. So it's a chance to do something for your customers that they've never seen before and to do something brand new with your haunt. Put it in literally a new light.
Haha.
Also, it expands haunting into more seasons. This is always good. Go to other countries. Go to some tourist areas. Haunting is a 365 experience. And these haunts are open almost every day. It'd be really, really great for our industry if we could make it more like that here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And some of the year-round escape rooms, I think, do that, or at least keep the haunt in the forefront of people's mind year-round.
Yeah. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. But this, coupled with other holidays,
right,
keep the actual haunted attraction itself in the forefront of mind.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day is the current other big one, but I'm sure we can think of other holidays.
Yeah.
We're creative blokes and ladies here. We're smart people.
We could do halfway to Halloween celebrations. Yeah. It's in the middle of summer.
Yeah, Halloween and summer, or whatever. You can do a lot with this, really, is what it comes down to. There's absolutely no reason you can't.
Yes, just look at New Orleans' love of parades.
Yeah.
We have parties for everything.
Yeah.
If it's mentioned on any calendar anywhere in the world, we got a party for it.
Pretty much, yeah. If you need a tip, that's a good suggestion. If you need a tip for what holiday to celebrate and promote, check out New Orleans' parade schedule.
Parades
and festivals. You'll find something.
Yeah.
Trust me. So, yeah. But basically, this is a real low-hanging fruit and opportunity. I compared it earlier to a flashlight night or a blackout night or whatever. It's a very similar idea.
Yeah.
Change the decoration, change the lighting, change the costuming. You get a chance to open for a couple other nights. And as we saw when we went, these nights can make crazy bank.
Yeah. Yeah, there were more people there for that night than there were whenever we went earlier in season.
Yeah, when we went to New Orleans Nightmare House, and we went, I think, second weekend or something.
Right.
It was open.
Yeah.
When we went there second weekend, we were literally the only people in line.
Yes.
When we went on Friday, we went the first night, on Friday, for the actual Christmas haunt, we were not the only people.
No.
We were quite the opposite of the only people.
Yeah.
There were a lot of people there.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps a little bit more than they could handle.
More than planned for.
Yeah, we'll get to that, though.
Yeah.
So, what are some reasons you might not want to do this? Well, first is the season.
Mm-hmm.
It's cold.
It is cold.
If it's not cold, it's probably rainy.
Yes.
And if it's not cold or it's not rainy, it's travel season. People are going places and doing things. They're not necessarily thinking about spending an evening at a haunted house.
Right.
You know, it's one of those things where it's not ideal weather. And even if you have an indoor haunt that's well heated and as toasty and as dry as a warm summer, as a bug in a rug.
Right.
If it's raining outside or it's cold outside, people are less likely to leave their homes.
Yeah.
Just, you know, something to think about. The second reason is you only have a month really to prepare.
Mm-hmm.
Most haunts end their season sometime like the first weekend of November. Most of these things are happening first weekend of December. The 7th and 8th was most there. Some are doing like the 14th and 15th, or they're doing the 8th and the 15th or whatever.
Right.
But realistically, you've only got a month to prepare.
Yes.
How much can you really, really do in 1 month? Think before you answer that, you know?
Depends on... there are a lot of factors in that.
Well, one thing you probably can't do is get new permits, though.
Right.
Because most permitting requirements usually require about 60 days to go through the whole process.
Yeah, it's a monster ordeal. Yeah.
So you're not going to be able to get all new permits. You're not going to be able to go through and demo a bunch of crap and build new stuff and submit blueprints and blah, 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 blah. You can't do all that.
No.
It's pretty much not going to happen. This is definitely going to be a palette swap of your haunt.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way to think about it. And what you can do realistically is hang Christmas decorations, change the lighting, get new costumes, maybe tell a new narrative, get some new actors, new instructions, and that's about it.
Yeah.
You're not going to be doing knockdown work on your haunt, probably.
No, I wouldn't expect you to.
The second issue, speaking of those pesky actors, and... Yeah, is getting actors in December can be tricky. And the reason for that is twofold. One is, a lot of actors, and I know we used to do this, would set aside time off to do acting in haunts in October.
Mm-hmm.
So we would have a few extra hours here and there. We could leave early on Friday and go do things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We did this. That personal time off and that from other jobs may not be there in December.
Yeah.
And if it is there in December, they might be traveling to other places and be with their families and whatever.
Right.
So that's going to make getting actors tricky. And it's going to be especially tricky considering if you're a paid haunt, this is going to be for probably just two nights and probably a very, very tiny paycheck in the end.
Well, yeah. It
not that any haunt actor paycheck's ever really that big, but...
Yeah, it depends on, you know, how much they do get paid. So... Yeah. I know that whenever Mortuary used to have their Christmas thing, and it was not a haunted Christmas thing.
No, it was just a
it was just a Christmas thing.
Yeah, who the fuck wants to come? Sorry, Rand. Who the fuck wants to go to Santa's workshop and the haunted mortuary?
Lots of people did.
I know.
And they loved it, and they paid extra for it.
I know. Who the fuck are these people?
People with kids.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. Anyway, it only made it 1 year, even despite getting a lot of people.
No, it was more than 1 year.
Oh, they only did it 1 year.
No.
Oh, well.
It was more than one.
One of us is wrong, and it's probably me.
I believe it is. Okay. But we know from people who worked there that they would pay the actors who came in to play the elves and the helpers.
Extremely
and,
well.
They would pay them pretty much double to do that because they knew that it wasn't in their wheelhouse.
And
but
it was hell
here,
on earth.
Yes, but here you don't have a lot of tiny kids, no. Hopefully, and you're playing to your wheelhouse.
Not with that attitude, you don't.
Yeah.
Krampus is going to be pissed.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. And here's another thing to think about. How it will impact the reputation of your main haunt in the regular season. Your bread and butter is still going to be your main season.
Right.
You've only got... The show only runs two nights, basically, usually. Two to three nights. That doesn't give you a lot of time to get it right.
Yeah.
A lot of haunts intentionally open early, so they have time to work out the kinks before the crowds really start to show. You don't have that luxury anymore.
No.
You're basically doing what we have to do. Ha ha, suckers!
Yeah.
Enjoy it! It sucks.
Luckily, we have a crew that we've worked with for years, and they know and our luckily, style and yeah, what they, we expect.
We managed to fix that a little bit, but still, yeah. Good luck, suckers.
Yeah.
Yeah, things go sideways. It could hurt the reputation for your haunt if people have a bad time at this or feel that it's poorly put together or poorly executed. Even if it's not representative of what your haunt is like during the season, people might think it is.
Yeah. Especially since they can see that it's just extra decorations thrown up to make it Christmas.
Yeah. It may also discourage people from going to your main haunt.
Yeah.
The reason is this. If people your hope is that this would be an and. People go to the haunt and to this.
Right.
But some people may choose to make this an or. Or instead of going to your haunt, they wait and go to the Christmas thing.
Yeah.
They might have gone to the haunt during season. They might have gone on a less crowded night. They might have done, you know what I mean? But they chose to go to the Christmas thing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a potential for cannibalism there. And finally, this trend may wane. We're still fairly early in this really peak of the trend here.
Yeah.
Where it seems like nearly everyone's doing it. And so, it's a fad right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I say it's a fad not necessarily because I'm dooming it
right.
to fall off the cliff. Because right now, it's a fad. It's picking up. It's growing exponentially. If it continues to grow in flat plateaus and remains steady, then it's a trend.
Yes.
Then it's something that holds. But if it crashes in a few years,
mm-hmm.
it's Furbies.
Yes.
It's Furbies. Yeah, it may be hot this year. It may not be the next. It's maybe something that runs its course in a few seasons. It may be something that goes for a while. I can't predict that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who would have thought in 2018 we'd still be listening to Justin Bieber? He's still doing
People
stuff.
People do stuff with
Yeah, them. Apparently.
Okay.
That's at least a rumor I heard.
Yeah. You hear different rumors than I hear, apparently.
Anyway. But yeah, I'm realizing that part came across as silly negative, though, and I want to be clear about this. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
It expands the season. It's something that's really, really big right now, and I don't think if it is a fad, it's necessarily going to die next year.
No.
No, I think there's at least a few seasons worth out of this.
Mm-hmm.
If practical, I would really, really consider it. I mean, it's not practical for all haunts. If you have a trail haunt, especially anywhere in the north, or anywhere in the rainy south. Really, honestly, you're kind of screwed on this one.
Yeah.
Because if it's not fucking cold, it's fucking rainy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's one of those things, isn't it?
Yeah. And here you can't tell what you're going to get.
Exactly. Here it could be in New Orleans. Here it could be a little bit of both.
Yes. Because Saturday was 70 and Sunday was 48. Yeah,
Saturday was 70 and pouring rain the whole damn day.
Yeah.
And then Sunday was freezing, pretty much.
Yes.
By New Orleans standards. So, yeah. Trail haunts are going to be dubious. Also, haunts without a permanent location. I don't know if this justifies extending your lease another month or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't really know if that's going
to
be worth it.
Yeah. It would be interesting to have a pop-up knockdown
mm-hmm.
Christmas haunt.
Especially if you could do it as part of, like, a Christmas festival.
Yeah.
Just a small, maybe, like, a few thousand square feet tops.
Yeah, but have one that, you know, instead of opening in October, opens for Christmas only.
Yeah. Could be interesting.
Maybe there's somebody out here who loves Christmas enough and horror enough that they would do this. So
I'm sure there's a few sick bastards out there listening to this that'd be willing to give that a try.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, our experience. Now, to be clear, we've only been to one.
Yes.
We are putting that forward. We're not claiming to be experts here.
No.
But our experience to us was disappointing.
Yeah.
As regular haunt goers. And I don't know if we've decided if we're doing the garbage horror thing with it or not, but...
Yeah, I'm not sure.
We're going to talk about it here a little bit. The first problem was that the queuing was a mess.
It was.
And it's really weird because 13th Floor runs this haunt, and they're really big on those pre-sale tickets and time tickets and tickets only on a specific day. And like the whole benefit of that should be you have a very good idea how many people are coming.
Yeah, you have a good idea how many people are coming, and customers have a good idea of roughly when they'll get in the haunt.
Yeah, maybe that went to hell.
Yes.
Basically, if you've never gotten to go to the Old House of Shock, basically, you used to wait in this giant cattle gate system that was surrounded on three sides by the facade for the haunt.
Right.
And it's this big, huge, empty lot. And they had cattle gates that, like, snaked through it the whole way. And it was really rough when we went early in the season. They had that still up.
Mm-hmm.
And we were it. And we had to walk our butts through the entire cattle gate.
Yeah.
Forever. It was like, oh my God. But anyway, they'd ripped all that out, and they had a queue line, an actual queue line, that I wish I was joking about what I'm about to say, but it was actually shorter than the queue area we had prepared for our haunt.
Yeah.
It was literally shorter than that.
It was.
which is damn impressive because we're just, like I said, a home haunt. We get a lot of people on Halloween night. Don't get us wrong, but we're not. We shouldn't be preparing for these numbers,
right?
And we have a queue line and a queue prepped area that's longer. But yeah, literally. So basically, what happened is the queue line ended up like curly queuing like a pig's tail in that area, very chaotically, and they ended up taking people out of line and moving them into a second line, and then people who were in the back of the line started getting ahead of people who were in the front of the line.
Right. People who were 20 minutes behind us getting in line got in 20 minutes ahead of us.
Mm. It was a fine mess.
Yeah,
and then once you get into the haunt, they had a 13-minute wait, as we found out, for a forced photo op.
Yes.
And the actual haunt was only about 12 minutes. And I'm not someone who's big on like timing haunts to determine the value. I'd rather have a very, very good short haunt than a mediocre or terrible long haunt.
Right.
But here's the thing. New Orleans Nightmare / former House of Shock normally is about a 20 to 22-minute haunt.
Right.
Because usually there's actually three attractions to go through. They made it two.
It's how you count it.
What they did with House of Shock was it was the Bordello of Freaks or whatever the first one was. Then it was the 3D Haunt. Mm-hmm. They changed the name on it a few times, I think. And then you moved into the actual House of Shock. And then when New Orleans Nightmare took it over, the first half of it just became the 3D Haunt.
Yeah.
It sort of made that whole thing.
Well, they still had the
intro section,
because that's where the photo op was.
Yeah, but there wasn't much haunt in that.
No.
So the result of that was we went in starting at that middle point where the House of Shock is.
Right.
What old House of Shock, as I'm calling it, where that began. And so automatically, nearly half the haunt is not what we're going, even though we paid for a full price ticket.
Yeah.
That was a little frustrating.
It was.
However, I really did enjoy seeing the new decorations and the new costumes.
Yeah.
And one thing I did like was that since it was brighter, I was able to see a lot of additional details in this haunt. I mean, it's never been the darkest haunt on the planet. It's not one of the haunts where it's like, you bastards, I couldn't see anything. It's never that. It's not that haunt.
It's not the darkness.
No.
Or the Linton Brewery.
Where you literally can't see anything.
Right. Darkness was too bright.
Yeah, darkness was too bright. Yeah, it's Brewery was too dark. It's very confusing. It's like Iceland and Greenland.
Yes. Anyway.
Anyway.
But it was nice to see the extra detail.
You realize just how much detail and work went into it. It was quite lovely.
Yeah.
And I did say it actually made some of the scares a little more effective to me because I found myself looking in places I didn't look at previously.
Right.
I was looking at those details. I was looking at the decorations, and it made it easy for them to direct the scares. It was fun. I gotta say, Krampus himself was a bit of a letdown.
Yeah. If you're gonna base your whole thing on Krampus, then he had better be the finale.
Well, and this is the thing, okay? The whole haunt, and this goes back to when it was House of Shock, climaxes into... that sounded worse than I thought. but it builds to it like a giant ritual room.
Yeah.
And now back in the days of House of Shock, it was the big satanic ritual going on. Mm-hmm. When New Orleans Nightmare House took over, it was some kind of weird voodoo ritual, which was...
more offensive.
Somehow
than...
more offensive, actually.
Yeah. It's like, we can't do the big thing anymore, so we're going to do this
It didn't rest well with me, I'm not going to lie. But anyway, so it's like, they're going to have Krampus in that room. We saw it coming.
Yeah.
We knew it. We got excited. We got to the room, and yes, Krampus was in it, and he was kind of just standing to the side.
Well, and there were several actors that seemed to be new that were doing just that. Like, the first room, they had Santa.
Yeah.
And I wish Santa was more of an improv character. And there are some actors who can improv their asses off and some that just can't.
Yeah.
He was not one of the ones who could.
Yeah. He had a great voice, though.
He did.
My God, that booming baritone yell.
That's probably why he was put in as Santa.
Yes, that booming voice. My God, he sends chills when he screams, but...
yeah.
Just, he fills the room.
Yeah, but those girls in front of us kept trying to goad him into, like, playing along or doing something, and...
Yeah. He wasn't having any of it.
No.
Anyways, So yeah, but it was kind of a letdown. And honestly, after the whole experience, I kind of wish I hadn't done it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying like I regret it or I want my money back or anything. It's not like that. It's just kind of a, okay, there, I've done it. I don't really feel the need to do it again.
Yeah, I kind of felt like a sucker for doing it the first time.
Yeah. I'm not, like, super mad about anything. I'm going to go to New Orleans Nightmare House next year. It's nothing like that. No. It's just it didn't really feel special enough.
Yeah.
I guess is what it comes down to.
Yeah. You can tell that the heart is in the October show.
Yeah. You can tell the heart was not in this. And I think Ellie, who was with us, said that it felt like this was like something they had to do.
Right.
Not something necessarily they wanted to do.
Yeah.
Was the feeling she got. And I kind of agree with that. Maybe it was first night jitters. Maybe it was the being overrun. Maybe it was the situation.
Maybe it's the first time that they've done it and they didn't know.
Yeah.
Didn't have all of the things prepared.
But this is the problem when you only got two nights. Yeah. You're either going on opening or closing night.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those things, man.
Yes. Anyways. Are we going to talk about the snow machines?
Oh, for fuck's sakes.
We won't talk about the snow machines.
They did not have snow machines.
Effectively, no. All right.
Anyways. But yeah. Okay, so some tips and tricks that we've been talking and thinking about it a lot over the past week, based upon our experience and also what things we would do if we were looking to create such a haunt.
Right.
First things first, if you go in Christmas, go all in.
Yes.
Make sure every room screams Christmas.
Right.
I mean, really put it out there. Go all in on this. Not just lights and holly. Make it a different visual experience completely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't just wrap some Christmas lights around your dummies and dress your actors and elves.
Yeah.
Really go all in. Really do a lot for this. There's a lot of decorating you can do that's not permanent that would really change it quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can think of a few things.
Second, try to have fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
This is not going to be as serious as the October Haunt. You're never going to make it as serious.
No.
Have a little fun. Get a few jokes, you know, get a few jabs in. Make a few references. Maybe have Rudolph hanging from somewhere or whatever.
I was thinking of the reindeer eating Santa for dinner or something.
There you go. You're getting it. Yeah, now you're in the spirit.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Have a little fun with it. Get some jokes in. It's not going to be as serious. There's a lot of room to have fun, and there's a lot of messed up things you can do.
Elves stuffing children into toys.
Ooh, that's a good one. I like that one.
Yes.
Yeah, just have some fun with it. Don't take it too seriously, for the love of God. Find appropriate music.
Yeah, please.
Sound design is always crucial to me,
right,
as the mostly deaf one.
Yeah.
Sound design is super important to me. One of the things that kind of drove me a little batty in New Orleans Nightmare House was in the queue area. Mm-hmm. They just had regular Christmas music playing.
Well, and the outside was decorated like normal Christmas, which was interesting.
It was pretty.
It just didn't seem to... I don't know.
Here's the thing, though. You can find twisted...
It's not what I expected.
Twisted versions of most Christmas songs.
Yeah.
They've all been parried, remixed, remastered. If all else fails, just give them to me.
Yeah.
I apparently have established myself as the master of fucking up songs, so they're very creepy and unsettling.
Yeah. At least in our haunt.
Just in our haunt. I'm the guy in charge of that. Slow it down. Drop it an octave. Do things with it. Make it Uncanny Valley.
I'm just picturing Santa at a higher octave.
Oh, God. Actually, you know what would be really creepy? If you took the song Santa Baby, slowed it down and dropped it, and made it like a real bass, that would be messed up.
I don't know. Well, we'd have to see. Anyway.
The reason I say that is because it's kind of a doo-wop-y song, and doo-wop music works really well for that.
It does.
That's the reason I'm thinking that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget about scents and smells, please.
Yes.
Peppermint, gingerbread. These are actually easy scents to get a hold of.
Yes, I expected some of that.
Yeah, these are easy things to get a hold of. They really add the immersion. Next, your story. What is the story?
Yeah.
And I don't think it should be Krampus is coming or Christmas time at blank haunted house or whatever.
Yeah.
Come on, what's going on? What's the narrative here?
Right.
And the reason for a narrative is so that both the customers and the actors can glom onto it and use it as part of the experience.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the things our actors do pretty well, actually. We tell them the story, we tell them the narrative we're going. They improv lines around that narrative.
Yeah.
You know, that makes it so much easier. So even a thin narrative can really help. And, you know, like I said earlier, 13th Floor does have a story. It's in the form of a poem.
Was that the poem that was being repeated as we were waiting in line to get our photo?
Maybe. I don't know.
I could hear bits and pieces of it, but...
I don't really recall the poem.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, there's a story there. I can't tell you how it was involved in the haunt.
Yeah.
Actors. Have the actors do different things.
Please.
Yeah, don't have them just reprise the previous roles and do the exact same scares in different outfits.
Right.
New lines, new scares.
Yes.
Be inventive.
Yes. Don't have the elf in the doll room say, "Want to play?"
Yeah.
God, I heard that line 3 times.
Yeah. But one idea I would do here, if I were going to do this, is I would rotate my actors into different rooms.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, she could have said, "Oh, you'll make a good dolly."
Yeah. "Oh, a good girl's really going to love getting you on the under the tree."
No, that's just creepy.
Yeah, it was like, that was too far. But you get the spirit
of it.
That
was too sexual.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. This is why I'm not the actor coach. And why I improv only. I don't try to come up with lines to reuse. And remember, your whole haunt is going to be brighter.
Yeah.
You're going to be adding Christmas lights. This will actually make it easier to hide scares in one way, because you can use the light to direct vision.
Right.
And then when people are looking at the lights here or the decoration there, you can hit them from the other side.
Yeah.
But it also means you can't use darkness to hide your scares.
No.
At least not as much. So you may have to rethink how your rooms work.
Yeah.
Actually, you should rethink how your rooms work. All of them.
Like
every one of them. You'll probably want to rethink how they work.
Yeah. You probably want to put your lights in and then then see how it's going to work.
Yeah.
And make sure.
That was something I noticed going through New Orleans Nightmares, is that a lot of the rooms worked really, really well with the lights. Because they had me looking at the lights. Scare came from an alternate side. And like, that was good timing. That was well executed. That was great. But in other rooms, it's like the light is exactly where the scare is coming from.
Yeah.
And you can tell that the scare design and the light design of that, of the Christmas attraction, at least, were completely separate.
Yeah, it was.
It worked sometimes, it didn't work others.
Yeah. I did like the idea of choking with Christmas lights.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's a fine idea. That's a perfectly fine, semi-humorous idea.
Yeah.
I like that idea. Finally, marketing. Don't forget, many of your traditional marketing channels will not be available.
Right.
Flyers are a good example. Flyers work really well for haunts because of the length of the season. They get distributed, they get passed out, they get picked up.
And there are costume shops.
Yeah. I mean, you don't have spirits, you don't have your local costume shops getting nearly the traffic.
Yeah.
If they are open at all.
Yeah, and I'm not sure how traditional Christmas stores would take putting out flyers for a haunted house.
Yeah, I don't know either. I've never tested that. That you guys can,
if you've done it,
report back
know.
To us. We're very curious now.
Yes.
I will say you're probably going to want to lean more on traditional advertising and PR. The good news is this stuff is great for media coverage, especially now that it's still fairly novel.
Right.
Media is always looking for Christmas shit to do.
Yeah.
Believe me, like, every paper right now has the "Come see the lights here, do these Christmas things," and blah, blah, blah. You can just get into that list, and you will stand out. Because, I mean, think about it. Like, in Christmas, it's going to be like, "Go see the lights in the Oaks," and "Go see Santa at the park," and this and that. And then "Christmas at the Nightmare House." It's one of these things is not like the other one of these. It's going to stand out.
Yeah.
Unlike October, when it's, you know, all spooky, scary stuff.
Right.
It's a chance to stand out in those lists.
Yeah.
Rather than get buried in them. So, yeah, I think there's a lot that can be done here. I think it's a really cool idea. And I going to the one we did was an interesting and educational experience.
Yes.
You know, I think we probably will go next year.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see if it grows and improves and changes and what they do with it. Because once again, this is the first year for this haunt under this ownership too. We got to keep that in mind.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, basically they're at year one.
Yeah.
I know it doesn't feel like it, but they are.
Yeah, and there's a lot of new people involved.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think at least another year is the fairest thing we can do.
Yeah.
I just do wish it was the whole haunt.
Yeah.
That would be my biggest standout, even before the queuing. That's my biggest standout suggestion.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
As crazy as that is, as much as the queuing did upset me,
mm-hmm.
that's still my biggest suggestion.
No.
But anyways, anything else to add on that one?
I don't think so.
I think we're just about out of time and ended up wrapping up just about perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
So, real fast, if you didn't know it, we're Haunt Weekly. We're at hauntweekly.com. We're Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook. tinyurl.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel. All previous episodes are there for available for easy listening. Not that we're easy listening music. You know what I meant. And you can also find us on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher, and everywhere else that finer podcasts are sold. So until next time, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this was Haunt Weekly, episode 158. For Christmas haunts, we will see you guys next time.